Bonjour à tous.
Hello and welcome to this exclusive interview on France 24 and Radio France International. On the occasion of the Peace Forum on Global Governance and Multilateralism, which takes place in Paris every year, we're pleased to welcome Jean-Noël Barrot, the French Minister for Europe and Foreign Affairs. He was, of course, appointed to this position by the Prime Minister, Michel Barnier.
Hello, welcome, Minister.
Hello.
Jean-Noël Barrot, in previous governments, you were Minister Delegate for Europe, and before that, you were Minister Delegate for the Digital Transition. You began your new job as France's top diplomat with a series of trips to Ukraine, to Lebanon, to Morocco, and then to Israel.
And it was that trip to Israel that was overshadowed by a diplomatic incident. Israeli police entered a French-owned compound in East Jerusalem and briefly arrested two French gendarmes. You summoned the Israeli ambassador in France. Is this problem solved, or will you take things further?
What happened was unacceptable, and that is why I decided to summon the ambassador of Israel in France. Summoning an ambassador is actually the most serious diplomatic sanction that one can apply. So this was an opportunity for France to make it clear that it will not tolerate Israeli armed forces going into a French estate. These estates are our responsibility and we protect them. So we made it crystal clear that such an incident must never happen again.
Entering armed without permission.
Without permission, of course. There are various diplomatic sanctions that can be activated, and we activated the most serious one.
The Israeli finance minister had been expected to visit Paris. He wasn't invited by the French government, but still, he's an openly supremacist, far-right politician who has authority over the occupied West Bank. What do you think about this?
What is clear is that we condemn the policies that are encouraged by that Israeli government minister. That is to say, carrying out activities that are illegal under international law. I'm talking about aggressive settler activities in the West Bank. That is why we have applied sanctions on several occasions. First of all, against 28 violent and extremist individual settlers, some of whom were encouraged by this minister in the Netanyahu government, but also at the European level, where we were the drivers behind a new sanctions regime targeting individuals or entities that are responsible for this settlement activity or complicit in it. This sanctions regime has been activated twice. We launched two rounds of sanctions against those individuals, and we are now working on a third round of sanctions at the European level.
Let's come back to something that is obviously on people's minds a lot, the victory of Donald Trump in the United States. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, was among the first European leaders to congratulate him. But do you think, Jean-Noël Barrot, that Trump's return doesn't suit Europe, if we're being honest?
Well, that's not really the question, because it's up to the American people to decide. It's their sovereign choice. We've been working closely with the United States for 250 years. We've survived 59 American presidential elections, and we will obviously survive the 60th. Also, we have been preparing for a long time, I would say, for the global transformation that is happening now. Remember what the French president said in his first Sorbonne speech in 2017. Europe has to give itself the means to become an independent player in the world. It has to be strategically autonomous.
Europe didn't seem that prepared, actually. A bit surprised.
No, I think Europe is much more prepared than it was in 2016 for the first Trump presidency. Because the big crises that we have experienced, COVID and its consequences, as well as the war in Ukraine, have brought Europeans closer together. Now we have to show the willingness and the courage to accelerate this agenda which France drew up and which, it has to be said, our European partners have now taken on board. This means taking action to speed up this progress on security, on our competitiveness, on protecting our democracies. These are the topics that we put on the agenda back in 2017, and we have already made progress on them. But we need to accelerate.
Jean-Noël Barrot, as you know, the US is the top export market for the European Union. The US is the number one destination for European goods. We know that Donald Trump wants to impose new trade barriers, at least 10%, perhaps more. Can Europe absorb this shock, and how would Europe respond in the case of a new trade war?
You're right to highlight the fact that the EU is the number one trade partner of the United States. That is why it would be a major miscalculation for the US to slap tariffs on Europe in a massive and indiscriminate way. It would heavily penalize numerous American companies which are active in France and in Europe. And it would also penalize the American middle class, which buys a lot of products that come from Europe. So this kind of measure would hit the purchasing power of the American middle class. But if the Trump administration insists on pursuing what I call this major error, then we will defend our farmers, our industries, and our trade with an iron will. We were just talking about Trump's first term in office and what was perhaps a lack of preparation on Europe's part at the time. Back then, we were very much still in a free trade mentality. It was not the done thing to talk about sanctions or about retaliating against unfair trade practices. But Europe has changed. You saw that last month when Europe decided to apply tariffs on Chinese electric cars because we considered that subsidies were benefiting Chinese companies and putting European companies at a disadvantage. So we came up with a set of retaliatory measures.
The other big worry, of course, for France and for the EU is that the Trump administration might abandon Ukraine. Will Europe be in any position to take over? Bearing in mind that the EU buys a lot of weapons from the US in order to arm Ukraine. And the EU is quite divided on the idea of filling any gap left by the US in terms of massive financial aid or joint borrowing to help Ukraine. Can the EU essentially replace the US?
Firstly, on the finances, we should note that the outgoing US administration and the G7 countries, including France, of course, have signed off on an historic loan to help Ukraine of $50 billion. This loan will be paid neither by the Americans, nor by the Europeans, nor by the Ukrainians, but by Russia, and through the windfall income from the Russian assets that we have frozen. And this will allow Ukraine to continue its historic resistance in the face of aggression. The second aspect, and you're right to mention it, is that 80% of our military procurement in Europe comes from outside the European Union. This creates a dependency which is unacceptable, and in a sense it holds us back in our geostrategic choices, and that cannot continue as it is. This is why, as early as 2017, we were calling for our European defence industries to expand. This is why we're saying that at a time when France or Germany or Poland are increasing their defence spending, these increased expenditures have to be channeled into European industries. Why? Because, quite simply, it would be unacceptable for our French and European taxpayers if this defence policy did not create jobs and businesses. Especially when we are entering a difficult period of budgetary constraints.
And Trump asked us to spend more on defense.
And we will reply to him that it is in our interest to increase our defense spending so that Europe can take care of its own security. That is indeed what he has said on numerous occasions. He has said this very often, and we will tell him that we agree, but that we have to be allowed to source our own supplies, so to speak. He must accept the notion that Europe will supply itself. Otherwise, our compatriots and European taxpayers will reject the idea that we sacrifice other public expenditure for the benefit of military expenditure that would only be directed towards the United States or South Korea. The other aspect is, as you mentioned, that Trump could somehow ditch the Ukrainians. I think Donald Trump is too wise to go down in history as the person who endorsed the biggest land grab in our history.
He wants to resolve it in a day.
Yes, that would definitively enshrine the law of the strongest. Might is right, and it would have extremely serious consequences, not only in Europe, but everywhere else. The strongest, most aggressive powers would feel that it's safe for them to invade a neighboring country in which they have an interest. I do not believe that Donald Trump will want to make gifts to Vladimir Putin, who is today weakened to the point of being forced to export the war to Asia, to go and get troops from North Korea in order to attack the Ukrainians. The Russian economy itself is on the verge of suffocation, with interest rates at 21%, labor shortages, and an abysmal public deficit.
COP29 is underway in Azerbaijan. Relations between France and Azerbaijan are notoriously tense. Azerbaijan's arrested three French nationals, and it's also conducting a hostile campaign in France's overseas territories. Does France intend to respond in any way?
First of all, you mentioned the COP, and I would like to remind you that next year, in 2025, we will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Paris Agreement, which is certainly a victory, a huge victory for French diplomacy, which has advanced the cause of climate change in a way that had never been done before. This is why we have negotiators in Baku who are working at this very moment to bring a number of negotiations to a successful conclusion, notably on the carbon quota markets. Having said that, we are being very vigilant because this COP is also drawing in representatives of civil society, and we are taking great care to ensure that their participation in the COP does not pose any problems.
So there's no danger to French participants in Baku?
We are on our guard and we are keeping a very close eye on the situation.
Thank you for being our guest today, Jean-Noël Barrot, French Minister for Europe and Foreign Affairs.
Thank you for following us on RFI and France 24.
Stay tuned, of course, for all the latest news.